Well, the singing was good this morning. Thank you for being part of that, and thank you for helping me worship God this morning. All of you did that. In our earlier, excuse me, in our earlier service today, we talked about good works that we can do. Well, after we've done all those good works, what does that bring to us? What does that do for us when we do the works of God? We talked about the different ones we can do that the Bible talks about, but what does that bring or what does that do for us? What do we get out of that? What I would suggest to you, when we do the works of God, the first thing that happens is we bring glory to God. That's what we do. When we do the works of God, we bring glory to God. And that's what we want to do. We always want to praise God. We wouldn't be here this morning if we didn't want to, would we? We want to praise God. Look at Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. I have it on the screen up here. Look at Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he said, "You're the light of the world." They need to realize that they were luminaries. Paul talks about your luminaries among a wicked generation when he's speaking to the Philippians. But you're the light of the world. And he goes ahead to say, "Let your light shine before men." That's verse 16. "That they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So when we do good works, what does it bring to us? Well, it brings to us glory, praise to God. That's what it does. That's what it does for us. Because when we let our light shine before men, it causes them to see the good of God. It causes them to see the good works that we're doing that are the works of God, but it also causes them to glorify the Father who is in heaven. So what good works do, they bring glory to God. Not only for us as we let our light shine, but for others as they see these good works. And that's what we were talking about this morning. But there's something else that happens. Good works make one like Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to realize that we can be like Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about we'll be crucified on a cross or something of that nature. It wouldn't do any good if we did, because Jesus Christ was the one crucifixion that could take place, take the sins of mankind on his shoulders. He was the only one who was completely innocent of any wrongdoing and never sinned. But he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet the Hebrew writer said he was without sin. Well, of course, that's not true about us. But we can become like Jesus. It makes us like Jesus. That's what happens when we do the good works of God. In John 13, verse 15, Jesus Christ even said that. He said, "I've given you example that you should do as I've done to you." You see, I'm an example for you to do like I'm doing. So you see what happens? It makes us like Jesus in that sense, or similar. Like is a simile. It means similar. What it means. It means that we're to be similar to Jesus. We can be similar to Jesus in that we can follow his footsteps. That's what Peter actually said. That we can follow his footsteps. He's our ensample that we should follow in his steps, Peter said. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, he said, "You're called. Christ suffered you, leaving you example that you should follow his steps." And that's 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. So Jesus is our example. He said, "I've done certain things." Jesus said, "I'm an example to you. I've given you the example. You follow me. You do what my example shows you to do." And Peter emphasized that when he said he suffered for us, but he gave us an example that we should follow his steps or walk in his steps. And that's what we do. We look to Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful if always we could be just like Jesus? I'm sure that's what we'd like to do. There may be times when we fall a little short and we ask God to get on our knees maybe or bow down to God and say, "Help me be better next time." Have you ever done that in a prayer? Because we want to be more like Jesus. That's what we want to. In fact, we have a song to be more like Jesus in our songbook. We have one of those kind of songs, as a matter of fact, in our songbook. So Peter says, he suffered for us, but he gave us an example. It's a wonderful thing that Jesus didn't just come to this earth to tell people what they ought to do. Don't do as I do, but you do as I say, as some people do from time to time. But Jesus not only said, "Do as I do," but he said, "Do as I say and do as I act." I say it, I also do it. So I'm your example. And we looked at some of that this morning in our other lesson. We were talking about the good works that we do. One is we can show compassion like Jesus did. We can help the weak and the poor just like Jesus did. We can do that. On one occasion, he fed people, 5,000 people, on another, 4,000 people. He did what he could to help individuals. He's our example. In Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 14, we're told that a disciple is not above his teacher. A disciple is a follower. That's what the word disciple means, a follower. Well, we're disciples of Christ. The Bible talks about being disciples of Christ. A disciple of Christ is a follower of Christ. I've used this example before to some of you that are here. Here's a little child sometimes, and they're following mother. You ever seen this happen? Mother's taking the step, and here's the little child trying to put their foot in every place that the mother did. They're following mom. They're the disciples in a sense of mother, or it could be dad. They're trying to do that too. Well, that's what this Bible, that's what this verse is talking about, Luke 6 and verse 40. That's what it's talking about. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. You see? People tell me that my father was a gospel preacher. People tell me today that I point my finger just like he did. I've had people say, I can see your dad in you because you're pointing your finger. That's what he always did. Point his finger. I had teachers in college. That's what they'd do. Listen to me. That's what they'd do. Have you ever seen anybody said, right here, right here? That's what they'll do. What they're saying is, you put your eyes right where mine are so I can talk to you. Well, that's what Peter's talking about. A person who's perfectly trained will be like his teacher. He'll have the same mannerisms, the same action. And that's true, folks. If we loved our mother and father like we should, and they were the kind of parents they should be, a lot of times we'll do the same thing. We might even use some of the same phrases that they used. We pick up those things. Marty and I Friday were in Sam's, and there was a lady carrying a little girl child. She couldn't have been very old. She wasn't old enough to speak intelligible words, but she was really talking. And that's what they do. They start this talking, and they're kind of loud, aren't they? Because they like to hear their own voice, don't they? This happened to be a female, but I think boys do the same thing. They like to hear their own voice, but one good thing about that, they talk, and what they're doing is they're learning, and eventually, you know what will come out of that? Not that garbage that or garble thing that we hear from time to time from a child. What will come out is, Mama. And Dada, but it'd even be more than that, won't it? And pretty soon you can understand that child because they started practicing a long time ago, and maybe it bothers us, all that squealing and all that thing, but they have to do that because they get to a point, they'll start talking, and what they do is they'll pick up what we say. Have you ever had a child, you send the child to school, maybe public school for the first time, and they've never used this kind of language, and they come home, and all of a sudden you hear something, whoa, whoa, whoa. Where did they pick that up? Probably not from a teacher, although there might be some teachers that talk like that, but they probably picked it up from a child, didn't they? That picked it up at home or from somebody else. You see, the person who's a disciple, a follower, picks up what the teacher says, and he'll be perfectly, what's interesting to me in Luke 6 and verse 40 is that Jesus said he'll be perfectly trained. Completely trained. The word perfect there means completely trained in the New King James. Like his teacher. So good works, what do they do? What do they bring to us? They make us like Jesus. That's what they do. But I'll tell you something else they do. When we do good works, the works we were talking about earlier this morning in our first assembly, when we do those good works, what they do is they show faith. They show our belief. They show that we really believe what we're talking about. Sometimes people say things, but you say, do you really believe that? Well, no, I just said it. You ever had anybody do that to you? I just said it. Especially if they get in trouble about what they say. Well, I didn't really mean it. It's always been interesting to me that people do things and all of a sudden they didn't mean it when they really did when they said it. But it got them in trouble. But the fact is, what happens is good works show faith. Well, that's what James was talking about in James 2. He said, what does it profit, brethren? If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? No. You see, the faith that he has, the belief that he has, pushes him to do what that faith tells him to do. Faith is not, folks, just a passive thing. It is a very active thing. If we believe it, we practice it. Why are you here this morning? Well, you have faith that there's a God, don't you? You have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or at least most of us do. The reason we're here is not just because maybe somebody invited us, because we really believe that there is a God. That's our faith. So what are we going to do? Well, if God wants to be with us and we want to be with God, what are we going to do? We're going to be wherever He is. And I'm not saying He's just in this building. Don't misunderstand that. But Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. So our faith is we want to be in the midst where Jesus is, wherever that is, don't we? So good works, what it shows faith, it does. James went ahead to say, when he was talking about, you do not give them the things which are need for the body, what does it profit? If you don't give people, if you say, go in peace, be ye warmed and filled, you don't give them the things needful to the body, what profit is there? You say you believe that you ought to help them, but if you don't, what profit is there in that? What James is saying is faith has to work. He said if it does not have works, it's dead. Faith by itself, if it doesn't work, it's dead. In other words, faith is an active thing. If you knock on my door sometime, and there's a blizzard outside, and it's cold like it was, what was it, Thursday, when it was so cold? 29 degrees or 30 degrees was the top temperature that day, and the wind was blowing. They said the chill factor was about 25, and you're out there, maybe you're not dressed, maybe you didn't have a coat big enough, and you knock on our door, and I go to the door, and there you are just shivering. You say, I'm cold. Well, I'll tell you what, ma'am, or man, I sure hope that you get warm. And then I slam the door in your face. What would you think of me? Well, he didn't hope that I get warm because I could feel the warmth coming out of that house. And he didn't invite me in. That's what James is talking about. If somebody comes to you and they're in need of clothes or they're in need of food and you don't help them, that's a faith that doesn't work. And that's a dead faith, he says. Faith that doesn't have works is dead. So what do good works bring to us? What they bring to us is they show our faith. And if we're not willing to do those good works, we don't really have faith. We can talk about all day long, I love the Lord. And if we don't do what He says, we don't really love the Lord. How do I know that? Because Jesus taught that. John 14, He said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. If you love me, you'll keep my commandment. I see all these little signs in yards, and there's not anything wrong with certain sayings. But I see some of these signs that people are buying in the yard. I've never seen one says, if you love Jesus, you'll do what He says. Don't ever see that. There's a lot of signs about love. Love one another and all this kind of thing. And that's all good. Don't misunderstand. That's all good. But I don't ever see a sign that says, if you love Jesus, you'll do what He said. That's right. That's what Jesus said. He said, if you love me and keep my commandments, we, talk about Him and His Father, we'll make our abode with you and we'll come into you. But if you don't love me, if you don't keep my commandments, He said, and you look it up in John 14, if you don't love me, you won't keep my commandments. If you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me, He said. So, what happens? Good works show our faith. They do. Look at James 2, verses 20 and 24. That's also on the screen right here. James 2, verses 20 and 24. Do you want to know, foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And he went ahead to say it very succinctly. You see then how that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. And you know that's true. As the example I used a while ago, if I shut the door in your face and you're freezing out there and you need some warm clothes and you need something warm to drink and I don't give it to you, you know that I can talk about how much I love Jesus all day long, and I don't. Because I'll show it if I do. Well, I'll tell you something else. When we practice good works, it'll also cause some people to believe. It causes belief. It causes faith. The word faith simply means belief in the New Testament. It causes some to believe. In 1 Peter 2, in verse 12, and I have that one on the screen, the Apostle Peter said, have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. He's talking about conduct, the way you comport yourself, he's talking about. Your conduct ought to reflect who you are. And if you're an honorable person, Peter said, it'll be the kind of conduct it ought to be. So he says, have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Not dishonorable, but honorable. And what will it cause? When they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, he says, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Someone does something good to us in the secular realm or physical realm. They do something good to us, and we say, that was really nice. And you'll run into a friend or something and say, I want to tell you what Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so did, or what James did, or Bob did, or Alice, or somebody. I want to tell you what they did to me, what they did for me. Also say something like what they did to me. But what they did for me. And we'll talk about the fact that they did this, and what a wonderful thing it was. You know, sometimes when we're hurting, just to receive a card from somebody, I'm thinking of you. People are in the rest home, folks. They live for the day they get mail from people that tell them you're thinking about them, or you're praying for them, or just once in a while, as you have an opportunity to drop by and visit with them, they just light up when you do. You go into rest homes, you ever notice how they light up if they can? Good works not only show faith, they cause some to believe. This person claims to be a Christian, and I want to tell you, I'd like to be like them. Have you ever said that? I'd like to be like that person, because you found something really good in that person, and you want to be like them. That's what I'm talking about. When we do good works, it causes some to believe. I want to be like them. I believe that I want to be just like them. He went ahead to say, when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God. In other words, you can cause others to believe. You can cause them to believe because they're doing the things that God wants them to do, but you also want to do the same things. I want to be like, I can't think of anything more that I'd rather be than to be like my dad or my mother. I have my dad's Bible that he used to preach out of, and it's full of red marks, and I get it out all the time. It helps me a lot to see what he wrote in the margins and so on. If I could be half the preacher he was, I'd be thrilled. And that's true about you, isn't it? You have some people you'd just really like to be like, because the way they live caused you to have faith, caused you to believe. That's what good works do. But I'll tell you something else they do. They provide for us. They provide for us. Good works provide for us. They do. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 18, Paul was speaking to Timothy, said, do good. Be rich in good works. Be ready to give. Be willing to share. Do good. Be rich in good works. Be willing to share. That's what good works do. Good works, what they do is they provide for others. This is our faith. I was talking about this a moment ago when James was talking about if you have faith, don't have works, it's dead. So as we do the works of fulfilling our faith, we share sometime. In Galatians 6 and verse 10, Paul speaking to Galatians said, let us all do good, especially to those of the household of faith. In Titus 3 and verse 14, he said, let our people learn to maintain good works. Why? To meet urgent needs. Maintain good works to meet urgent needs. What do good works bring? Well, I'll tell you one of the things they bring. They bring completeness. Perfectness, if you please. They bring completeness. In 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17, Paul was writing to Timothy again. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why, Paul? Why is it given by... Why do you take time to inspire the scripture so that we'd have what we call the Bible or the New Testament? Why did he do that? Well, he goes ahead to say, because it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness. And here's the end result, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, it completes him, gives him every good work. Someone says, why do I need to read the Bible? Well, in the spiritual sense, so you can do everything God wants you to do. So you'll learn to complete your task here upon the earth. So, what good works do, then what must we do if they're going to bring all of this? Well, let's see what Paul said to Titus, this young gospel preacher in Titus 2 and verse 7. In all things, show yourself a pattern of good works. In other words, when we work the good works of God, it's a pattern. I've said before, it's an example to others. Jesus was an example to others. In Titus 2 and in verse 14, again, Paul's speaking to the same young gospel preacher, and he's talking about Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Look at this. Zealous for good works. What does that mean? It means we have a zeal for it. This is what I want to do. We're so zealous for a lot of things. Here again is that little child can't wait to tell mom or dad what they've done all day. They bring something home from school when they're in the first grade or whatever it is, and bring it home from school, and it's a kind of a picture, and they tell you what it's supposed to look like, and if they didn't tell you, you wouldn't know. But they want you to know. And they have a lot of zeal for that, don't they? And what do we do with that picture that really may look like a scarecrow, but it's supposed to be mama? What do we do with it? Well, you don't put it in the drawer. My sister has a refrigerator that she's got those things all over. In fact, you almost can't get in the refrigerator for all the pictures she's got up there that the children have. In Titus 3 and verse 8, again, he's speaking to this young gospel preacher, and he said in Titus 3, this is a faithful saying that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Be careful to do that. That's what we should do. In Hebrews 10 and verse 24, the apostle was writing to the Hebrews, and he said, let us consider one another to stir up or stimulate one another unto love and good works. Well, what do we need to remember then? Look at this passage. We are His workmanship. That's what we always need to remember. We're God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're His workmanship. We've been prepared for good works beforehand that we should walk in them. That's what we need to remember. And I'm not saying that you don't remember that. But that's what we're supposed to remember. And we remember that by giving ourselves humbly unto the Lord. When He tells us to do something, we do. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, that's what I'm going to do if that's what He said. Because He went ahead and said, if I don't believe that, I'll be damned. That's Mark 16, 15, 16. So I'm going to do what He says. Is there anybody in here that doesn't want to go to heaven if you believe there is such a place? You know, the Bible describes heaven as a place with a street of gold. Boy, wouldn't it be great if we could find one of those and pick out a few of the bricks? A street of gold that you can gaze on a jasper wall and you'll never cry again. Think about that, little girl. You can close a door on your thumb and it won't hurt. Don't do that at home now because it will. But you'll never cry again. There'll never be any sorrow. Nobody will die anymore. And we won't get so old that our hair gets thinner. We start having all these wrinkles. And it gets harder to get up in the morning. And all the pains that we have, none of that will happen anymore. Like a preacher friend said to me one time, going to heaven is just worth it all. And it is, to do the things the Lord would have you do. Number 423. And it's so sweet to trust in Jesus. It is. Just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. But what we have to decide is Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I've proved Him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Can I help you with that?